Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu Folge 60 im Cloud Computing Report Podcast. Anfang Februar lud die Firma Eagle Technology zur Disrupt 2020 nach München. Bereits in der Vorankündigung hatte das Unternehmen aus Bremen, das insbesondere für seine Thin-Client-Lösung bekannt ist, eine ganze Reihe von wichtigen Neuigkeiten angekündigt. Highlight dieser wichtigen Neuigkeiten war sicher die Fackelübergabe vom bisherigen CEO, Firmengründer Heiko Gloge, zum neuen CEO Chad Ayres, die live vor Ort vollzogen wurde. Wenig später stand mir dann der neue Global CEO von Eagle Technology für ein Interview zur Verfügung. Zu Beginn des Gesprächs bat ich ihn, sich kurz vorzustellen und einen Überblick über seine bisherige berufliche Laufbahn zu geben.
Thank you very much for having me on your podcast. Pleasure to talk to you today. I have been in the tech space for about 25 years. All US-based. I live in San Francisco, born and raised in Northern California, so a lot of exposure to Silicon Valley and San Francisco. 2004, I got exposed to Citrix, worked for the largest Citrix platinum reseller in the world, and really the gift of end-user computing began for me. And in 2012, I started to work for one of the largest VMware and user compute when Sanjay Poonen got the reins of VMware, so got really good exposure to the solution from VMware as they built a $1 billion business there. And then in 2015, I went to work on the other side of Coin, working for a software reseller in the end user compute space called AppSense. And so I was part of the team that sold that company about 2 years later to Ivanti, which was Landesk at the time. So yeah, and from there I ended up at iGel, which was a very magical decision. Of course, didn't look so magical at the time. I think to a lot of people, actually told me, what are you doing taking this job for a German company in VDI, which of course in 2016 was under a bit of duress, and then also hardware. So it's like three strikes. Why are you doing this? This is career limiting, you know, idea to go do this. But I saw something very special when I met Heiko. And I looked at the technology and I understood the opportunity. I knew there was some risk, but Heiko was very visionary, very entrepreneurial. We built a plan together to go into the United States, and it's been quite a ride over the last 3.5 years. So that's my background.
Danach kamen wir auf seine neue Rolle als alleiniger CEO bei Eagle Technology zu sprechen und die Besonderheit, als Amerikaner CEO bei einem typisch deutschen Unternehmen zu sein.
Not normal, right? Yeah.
At least special.
Yeah, very special. Well, this relationship with Heiko and the journey that we've been on is very special. So I was originally hired for two things, right? The first one was to successfully open up an office in the U.S. And they had tried several times with Germans and people from the U.K. And they even had an American at one point. So sort of three different attempts to go to the U.S. So this was a major concept. If you're going to build a software company or any technology company, you need to be in the United States and you need to be successful in that. So the idea was open an office in San Francisco. The other responsibility he gave me was marketing. And obviously that was a big part of the problem with iGel, is that, you know, exposing the software IP in a very business oriented construct versus a technical hardware feature function. It was more of a, hey, I can save you money, I can make you way more secure, and I can make this experience of delivering Windows applications so much better. And so doing that in English, in a very sort of bold American way. So those were my two jobs. And I found myself in San Francisco. It's me, myself, and I. But I had a very strong network. And over the last 3.5 years, we've hired over 100 people, over 40 of which are in an office in San Francisco, right south of Market. And the whole kind of, I would say, Silicon Valley has moved to San Francisco and in and around Salesforce Tower. So you have LinkedIn and Slack and Salesforce and Twitter and Facebook and all the companies that want to tap into the young talent that doesn't want to commute to Silicon Valley. So we're right there. And this has been a major benefit for iGel also, is that we're much closer to the key partners, Citrix, VMware, Microsoft, Amazon, which all are on the West Coast. So yeah, it's been a remarkable ride. We basically have doubled the business since I got here. We've started to sell more software than hardware. by a significant amount this year. We went across the 100 million mark last year. Now we're at 150 million. And pretty much every metric you could measure is in double or triple digit. So yeah, it's a very special story of maybe something you don't see every day, right? Where you have a really healthy respect for the two cultures, because they are different. And I've learned that the hard way. And I think now we kind of understand, okay, this is where the strengths are. And certainly the strengths of the IP and the rigor over 30 years of building this beautiful Linux operating system. And you know, this is half the equation. The other half is this management tool that can touch that operating system on any device and do it without people having to go on site. So yeah, this has been quite a journey. So yeah, and this week, obviously historic here in Munich to be passing the torch. Literally, we passed the torch, which was a lot of fun playing with fire on a stage in front of 400 people.
Wie eingangs erwähnt, fand das Gespräch auf der Disrupt 2020 in München statt. Der Name der Veranstaltung ist sicher aus gutem Grund gewählt. Immerhin ist Disruption eine Herausforderung, der sich derzeit fast jedes Unternehmen stellen muss. Von Chad Ayres wollte ich wissen, wo er derzeit die wichtigsten Treiber und Gründe für Disruption in der Geschäftswelt sieht.
Yeah, so I think every company is becoming a technology company, right? And in terms of how they look to use technology to gain competitive advantage, to attract talent, to retain talent, to improve the interactions they have with customers. And certainly the edge and the devices on the edge are an important part of that, you know, the things I just suggested, right? And so... So yeah, there's a disruption happening there, right? As some of this data and the compute is abstracted up into the cloud, right? And so this is a whole new game right now with Microsoft entering into the delivery of Windows applications and desktop and endorsing it. Right now you have about 100 million virtualized workspaces, and 46 million of those are Citrix and 46 million are VMware. And the rest of that market is shared by a whole bunch of other people. And it's always been a minority use case, right? It's sort of been, hey, maybe if you're a bank or a hospital or somebody that's very regulated, government, this might be something you would almost be mandated to do. But I think with Microsoft entering into it and essentially saying, hey, if you have Microsoft Office 365 or any of these other licenses, you now own this really beautiful, high fidelity, originated by Microsoft product to deliver Windows out of Azure. And I think you're going to ultimately hear Microsoft say the best version of Windows is consumed out of Azure. And that's where iGEL just has a huge opportunity right now. We're the only Linux operating system that can connect to that architecture today. And that's a very distinct advantage. We have about a year head start on anyone else.
Danach kamen wir auf die Firmenentwicklung von Eagle Technology zu sprechen. Seit seinen Anfängen ist ein Unternehmen vorwiegend als Hersteller von so Client Hardware bekannt. Mittlerweile positioniert sich Eagle aber als Softwareanbieter mit den Schwerpunkten Eagle OS und Eagle Universal Management Suite UMS. Ich bitte Chad Ayres, die Transformation seines Unternehmens etwas näher zu erläutern.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons for it, but I think the biggest reason is that it's driven by a customer, right? The customers are absolutely loving to consume the technology this way, right? Because there's a lot of innovation packed inside of iGEL. So, there are really three areas where the customer is winning in a very big way. They're not having to buy new hardware to access Windows 10, because they're getting that by putting iGEL on these older devices and then accessing Windows 10 out of either Citrix, VMware, Microsoft, or Amazon. So that saves them millions of dollars. It also reduces the amount of software that's typically on top of a Windows operating system that can be eliminated, antivirus, disk encryption, things that Linux just doesn't need. And then inherent in iGEL software, there's also some really beautiful technologies that people sometimes buy as point solutions, like broadcasting messages to devices or shadowing devices. So there's a lot of savings, both CapEx and OpEx, the number of people managing these devices. We break all kinds of records for the one person managing 30,000-40,000 devices, and not even full time, as opposed to a fat Windows client, one person, 250 devices. So, and then secondly, we're really taking a lot of security risk out with this read-only file system. And then third is this, management, delivering a great performance for people, right? So this is a this is the reason why iGel has gone to a software model, mm-hmm. because you know the traditional two players that were leading the space, Dell and HP, they're trying to sell you hardware, and in many cases they're trying to sell you a piece of hardware in the fourth year, and saying, hey, you need to get on this sort of, I call it the hamster wheel of hardware refresh, whereas we think a device could last 8-9 years sometimes, mm-hmm. right? And there's a billion x86 devices out there that people are sitting on that can run iGel. And so, I mean, I just tell you a story. I was with a very large insurance company in Texas a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I walked into a warehouse where they literally had pallets of laptops that were stacked to the ceiling. And they were saying all of this was headed to the landfill. And we're now going to put iGel on all these devices and bring them back. So as the kid who grew up in California as a hippie kid who, you know, ate granola.
Yeah.
This to me is something quite special, right? This idea that, you know, iGel is a green company, right? I mean, that's a lot of material that's going into the earth that we're prolonging that at least, right? So this is kind of a special thing. And I think from a software perspective, just monetizing the company and building, can you be able to innovate? If you sell a $300 device and you never get any money for all the, we were sending an update to that device every 12 weeks. So, and not only the operating system, but also the management tool. So all of the investment that goes into that, you know, and if I can't get any money from you for 8 to 10 years, I can't invest as heavily. And so now that we've started to be more of a software company and we're getting some recurring revenue, the team not far from here in Augsburg, I mean, it's doubling in size. And so what does that mean? It means we're going to be able to drive more features and innovation into this solution for customers. So I think it's a win for everybody. And it lines up with the way people want to consume things. We have some steps to go. We still want to get to subscription. It was kind of an evolution, right? We're selling hardware, one-time thing. And by the way, the other thing that didn't exist when we sold hardware was a lot of the services people expect, right? If you're in the hospital and you've got 40,000 endpoints, and you're tier zero, right? You've got to be able to call and talk to a person 24/7. So support and education and advanced services of, you know, how to architect it, how to deploy it, how to support it after the sale. None of that existed, so we've had to build a lot of these enterprise offerings very quickly to satisfy the largest retailers and banks and hospitals that expect an enterprise software. So it's been fun. It's been a lot of work, a lot of plane rides, a lot of late nights. But I would tell you, it's a satisfying thing to see
how it grows.
Over 600 people here at this event, and of course we had our employees here. For a couple of days before this, you know, that's been remarkable too. It was 150, and then it was, you know, 250, 350, over 400 this year. So it's been a progression on the human side as well.
Ein weiteres Highlight auf der Disrupt 2020 war die Vorstellung des neuen Windows Virtual Desktops von Microsoft. In der Ankündigung zur Veranstaltung erklärte Chad Ayres, dass der WVD für eine Disruption auf dem Markt sorgen wird. Im Interview erklärte er dann, was er damit genau meint.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people, like we talked about before, sort of saw virtualization as a very expensive solution.
Okay.
There was a lot of, it was never easy to justify delivering Windows applications from a data center or the cloud. It was never going to be cheaper than a fat client. So Microsoft entering into this, they brought two pieces of technology that Scott talked about on the stage this morning. Scott Manchester, the guy who's in charge of this team bringing it to market, Windows 10 multi-session is a density of the amount of people they can put on a single VM. This changes the cost, and obviously having Microsoft as a platform, as a service solution, reduces the complexity. Those are two of the big C's that have kept people from deploying this technology. So having Microsoft as the originator of the code, and all the things that are happening with Windows 10 being the last operating system for Microsoft, their ability to iterate on the code, and some of those iterations on the code are actually things that are being built into Windows Virtual Desktop. The fact that they can have agile development, used to have sort of on-ramps into Microsoft maybe twice a year, now we're seeing features added overnight. For Windows Virtual Desktop. So this is a whole new Microsoft, one that's built around cloud, agility, And these are tailwinds for virtual desktop for sure, right? Just the fact that I'm a large corporation. Wait a second. Microsoft shows up and says, I own this. I've had a very good experience with Microsoft Office 365. I have a big challenge with managing Windows 10 because of the number of updates that are coming. We had Gartner here at this event talking about how, this is sort of like so hard for companies now that are making it onto Windows 10. They barely can get to QAing it, and they have a couple weeks left on the operating system, right? It's like painting the Golden Gate Bridge, except for you don't even get to the other side. You have to start back.
Start again.
So all of these things are very big tailwinds for iGel, I think, in terms of just where we're seeing, some of the 60,000 Microsoft salespeople bring us into deals, the bigger ecosystem that you see here. There's 31 players, many of which are built into the Microsoft framework. Also, the channel community, the SIs, some of these really large SIs that are part of that. So iGel's pipeline is up by more than 100% where it was last year. So, that gives me great hope that this company can continue to have a very steep trajectory of growth.
Eagle Technology vermarktet das Eagle OS als perfekte Ergänzung zum WVD, da es die WVD-Management- und Security-Funktionen erweitert und optimiert. Chad Ayres vermittelt einen kurzen Überblick, wie Eagle OS und WVD zusammenarbeiten und erläutert, welche Vorteile der Endanwender aus dieser Kombination hat.
So obviously when you are trying to build a solution that is of high quality, like a really rich experience that is going to work across all these different device types, this is not an easy problem to solve for, right? So you got to think about all the types of things like printing, collaboration, video, all of those things. They need to work in a really, a beautiful way. Otherwise, it goes back to what we talked about, the sort of performance. If I don't get the end user experience, then I'm going to reject this, right? It's just terrible. If the video's jittery, or I'm trying to take a Zoom or a Teams call, then this is not going to work for me. So I think that where you've seen the time and effort from Microsoft and iGel working together is saying, okay, if this device is running iGel, all of those things that Coca-Cola is going to need in their bottling plant, guys on forklifts, guys in call centers, guys actually out there, they have a use case even with the guys out in trucks that are delivering Coke that are using a Surface tablet. Okay. So like, it's basically solving for a variety of use cases so that that's a high fidelity, rich experience, and it can be delivered from the cloud in a way that's acceptable, right? And so that's where a lot of the engineering time goes, is to just making sure that works on Linux, right? And this is actually where it's a true partnership, because we've got 30 years of intellect on how to do this around Windows. And so they're learning a lot. As much as we're learning and we're blessed to be in the room with them, they're learning from us too, because we're sending our brightest people to Redmond, and they're, camping out and spending... this is when I knew it was real. It was like, okay, we have a 2-week sprint, and the gentleman who is assigned to work for this for iGel, he won the President's Club, right? Which is a nice vacation in Spain.
Yep.
And he comes up to me after we gave it to him last night, and says, I can't go. I'm committed to being in this software sprint with Microsoft. Yeah. That's 2 week long, right? So this is a very we have a passion. I think you heard me say this on the stage, but there's we have 400 people that think they're going to change the world, right? And it's something so special. I mean, I would just tell you, Scott, who you're, I think, going to do a podcast with also, he stood in front of all our employees. He got so emotional by this energy that this team has that he was brought almost to tears. This was someone doesn't even work for our company is standing in front of these people. I would just tell you, this is a beautiful... there's a human component to this, that there's the technology, but there's just the spirit that can't be replicated, right, by a big company. The speed and the spirit, it's something that Heiko, who I know he's a very special guy, right? He's the one that has put these values to play, and I mean, all the numbers and seats and all of that, at the end of the day, it's really about the values that he's instilled here around partnership and innovation and trust and integrity. These things are very special here.
Yeah.
I mean, I've worked at 9 companies. I've never seen anything like it.
Zum Abschluss wagen wir dann wieder den obligatorischen Blick in die Kristallkugel. Ich frage Jed Ayres nach seiner Prognose, worüber wir uns wohl unterhalten werden, falls wir uns auf der Disrupt 2025, also in 5 Jahren, wieder treffen sollten.
Well, I don't know if this hotel will be big enough to hold Disrupt 2025.
We'll find another one in Munich.
Exactly. I think what you're going to see is that iGel should be a much more household name in the enterprise, right? Where today we suffer from people that still just don't know who iGel. They think maybe kind of like you did, right? They sort of think, oh, this is a thin client company. But you're going to see so many unique relationships with Citrix, with VMware, where it's further innovation that's baked into their solutions, Microsoft, Amazon, even also some of the hardware players, I would suggest by that point will have built better relationships with, and OEM programs, that kind of thing. But I think what you're going to see, and this is what I tried to say on the main stage today, is that the era of fat clients and the sort of 35 years of 16 versions of Windows, we believe that Microsoft, based on the success they've had with under Satya and the cloud consumption of Azure and the abstraction of Office into Azure, you're going to see that Microsoft is going to make it very expensive. The features are going to start to get go down for on-prem. And I think 5 years from now, the architecture that of a Windows and Windows applications delivered from the cloud to a thin, light, secure, manageable operating system, this is going to be pervasive, right? And so I would imagine that by 2025, there's thousands of people here, and iGel's size it could be in the billions by then, right? With 10 million plus licenses being sold every year, and sold in a subscription way, where the channel is monetizing it in a way that's very valuable to everybody up and down the both the customer and the reseller and Microsoft, aligned with Microsoft and Amazon. So more of a managed service almost is how we see things moving, right? Is a managed any type of device.
Okay.
That's the future.
Good luck for the future, and thank you for the interview.
It was an honor to sit here with you. Thank you for listening to me, and appreciate it.
An dieser Stelle herzlichen Dank für Ihre Aufmerksamkeit. Weitere Informationen zum Interview finden Sie im Cloud Computing Report in der Rubrik Podcast. Wenn Sie regelmäßig über aktuelle News und Hintergrundinformationen rund um das Thema Cloud Computing informiert werden möchten, abonnieren Sie am besten unseren Newsletter. So viel für heute. Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören und bis zum nächsten Mal. Ihr Werner Grohmann.